The MarTech Podcast is a proud member of the I Hear Everything Podcast Network. Looking to launch or scale your podcast? I Hear Everything delivers podcast production, growth, and monetization solutions that transform your words into profit. Ready to give your brand a voice? Then visit IHearEverything.com.
From advertising to software as a service to data.
Across all of our programs and clients, we've seen a 55 to 65% open rate.
Getting brands authentically integrated into content performs better than TV advertising.
Typical lifespan of an article is about 24 to 36 hours.
If we're reaching out to the right person with the right message and a clear call to action, then it's just a matter of timing.
Welcome to the MarTech Podcast, a member of the I Hear Everything Podcast Network. In this podcast, you'll hear the stories of world-class marketers that use technology to drive business results and achieve career success. Here's the host of the MarTech Podcast, Benjamin Shapiro.
Welcome to the MarTech Podcast. I'm Benjamin Shapiro, the executive producer of the MarTech Podcast, and today we've got a special episode for you, which is going to be guest hosted by Doug Bell, who's the CMO of Chief Outsiders. Doug is a veteran CMO with a background in helping growth stage B2B SaaS companies reach their true potential, and I'm thrilled to invite him and some of his friends to take the microphone and share their knowledge with you, our loyal MarTech Podcast listeners. Okay, here's a special episode of the MarTech Podcast, guest hosted by Doug Bell, the CMO of Chief Outsiders.
Hello, marketers. My name is Doug Bell from Chief Outsiders, and today we'll be talking about maximizing email marketing effectiveness. Joining me is Brian Minnick, the Chief Operating Officer at ZeroBounce, which is the go-to platform for email success, providing award-winning email validation, deliverability, and email finding services for more than 300,000 customers. Yesterday, Brian and I talked about building healthy, engageable email lists. And today, we're going to continue our conversation by talking about increasing sales with powerful email marketing. Okay, here's my conversation with Brian Minnick, the Chief Operating Officer at ZeroBounce. Brian, welcome back.
Thank you. It's great to be back. I appreciated our conversation already.
Well, let's dig in. I want to start with A/B testing. And what I want to do is to understand the role of A/B testing and analytics in refining email marketing strategies so that they better resonate with those audiences we talked about yesterday.
So A/B testing, what is it? Maybe back to the basics. A/B testing, this would be you'd have two versions of something. And some people even do ABC, but I think A/B is really enough. Two versions of something that are different. They have to be different. And I would try to go significantly different. Don't change one word. Change something significant. And basically what you're going to try to see here is the outcome of what happens. So if I send to 50% of a message to segment A versus 50% to segment B, what made the difference? Is it the emoji in the subject line that really drove more, a higher open rate, which gave me a better click-through rate? Or is it the flashy image on the top of the body in segment B that gave me a better idea as to what's going on there and increased my metrics? But you are looking for the winner. That is really the goal. It's a simple test that shows you who's the winner of the message you were going to send.
And talk to me about inbox testing.
Inbox testing is really interesting. And I don't think a lot of people are too aware of the details here and also the reasons why. So inbox testing is when you would send a message to some emails, right? Now, almost everybody knows this in their own sense where they're sending it to themselves and they're checking how it renders on my cell phone versus my laptop versus the Android device versus the iPad, whatever. I'm not talking about that. That's rendering. What I'm talking about here, inbox testing, is where did the email get placed? Did it get placed in the inbox folder, the spam folder, or was it blocked altogether? And one thing here is that these email addresses cannot be your test list. These are not the same kind of emails that you're sending those content rendering tests. And I would recommend we offer this. There's plenty of people that offer it. They should be from an outside source that have no influence based on you, meaning you can't go into the inbox and say, oh, this isn't spam, or no, this was great, highlight it. You need an outside point of view that will basically tell you where that email landed. You might say, well, why do I need that? I can just make a test one. There are so many mail servers and each one is reacting differently. So Yahoo, Gmail, AOL, the list goes on. There's hundreds of these mail servers. I'm just naming some of the big popular ones that everyone knows. They have the ability to react differently. And a lot of people do not realize that. So you might be sending messages to, let's just say 10,000 people for using round numbers. Maybe 1,000 of those people are Gmail users. I don't know your stats, but it doesn't matter. We're just going to talk theory. And 1,000 are Yahoo. Well, if Yahoo is inboxing, but Gmail is going to spam, you are losing a massive piece of your audience. And the only way to know that is by getting some test results specific to Gmail and specific to these different mail providers. So they can give you the outcome and tell you what's actually happening. So again, we were talking yesterday a lot about the engagement signals and the way that it's important, how it drives your reputation. This reputation that I was talking about yesterday, it is not about what you bring. It is about what they see when you send mail and they receive it. So Yahoo can do something very different than Gmail, because maybe Gmail's audience reacted different than Yahoo's. If you got a bunch of people marking you as spam, for example. So an inbox tester is going to basically send, you're going to have a new test list that is not about rendering, and you're going to send a bunch of messages to a bunch of different providers. And then ultimately you get a report back that says, hey, 65% of my emails went to the inbox, 25% went to spam, and 10% were blocked altogether. And you're going to use that to drill into why. So why did Gmail put me in the spam folder? And you're going to keep testing Gmail until Gmail gets you back into the inbox. This is a totally different kind of concept of testing that a lot of people, it's brand new for them.
So it makes a ton of sense. Completely understand. How would you go about supporting an organization from a technology standpoint to be able to pull that off? Because it feels like a lot.
It does feel like a lot, but it's actually super simple. So for example, this is something that we offer. It's kind of a secondary tool to our main offering, but we just provide you a seed list. You send your campaign to us, and you can do this while you've got your final draft of your rendering, right? So you're like, oh man, that color is not what I wanted. Let me tweak it again. You added the seed list for deliverability. I would call it the deliverability seed list. You send a campaign to predetermined boxes that we would have, and we spit the report out. It's really actually that simple. This is real-time stuff. You'll have all the data back very quickly as soon as you hit send, and you can make adjustments and reset. That's the important part. Everybody thinks everything is great until you find out it's not. Everyone's ready to get in the ring, ready to get punched in the mouth. I think that's what Mike Tyson said, something like that. So if you don't know that's happening, you actually want to know if you're getting punched in the mouth in your email marketing, because it's not always obvious and you might get comfortable. That's actually another thing that I see a lot. People just get comfortable. This is how we've always done it. This is how we've always performed. And they stop questioning why. And that's what I'm here to do. I want you to question why.
I want to talk about email's role in this evolving, constantly changing marketing landscape, and specifically this. It's rare that organizations are in a place where they have a single channel, B2C, B2B, it doesn't matter, especially for B2B. So I'm curious, how do you look at recommendations around what role email should play in a multi-channel model? And I know there's no one-size-fits-all approach, but it feels like Zero Bounce does such a great job of helping people understand really the efficacy of their email motions. So they could understand, hey, actually, email sort of belongs in the top of funnel for me. I'm not going to be driving purchases with email. Or, you know what? Actually, really effective at the bottom of the funnel. So sort of, how do you help people understand the role of email marketing in the context of that multi-channel buyer journey?
I would say for us, it's never the starting point, because we didn't purchase your data. We never grabbed you off some list. You came to our website, you showed interest, you went to a show, you gave us a card, something, right? So for us, we've already made a first impression on you somewhere. So that's either in person or that's on our website or whatever it might be. We do a ton of retargeting and paid ads towards that for the brand awareness. I think that's very important. And if you ever watch the metrics for that or you watch the campaign performance, it always looks awful. But I'm a huge believer in it. I do believe seeing your logo over and over, and I do believe getting you on the right websites when they're looking at other things that are similar, I do think that stuff's very important. As far as when do I hit that sale, buy now email versus kind of the informational email, we kind of practice a 80-20 rule on that. So if we send 5 emails, 4 of them should be informative, should be expressing new things that are happening, announcements that are happening in the industry of email for email marketers. And then we'll hit kind of one of those with some sort of promotion or marketing tactic. But we've found not to overdo it. We get too many unsubscribes. And again, a lot of these people were kind of looking, if they're looking for content and you're sending them promos all day, you should expect high unsubscribe rates. But if you are giving them the right amount of content and you throw a promo in every once in a while, people don't generally take too much of offense to it. So we're not a heavy discount shop. We don't run sales every single day and spin the language on that and resend that message out like you might see on like shoe stores or clothing stores or whatever it might be. But that's what we like to follow. We think 80-20 is the right rule. And if they're a purchaser, they go into a different funnel, but everyone's still getting the great tips, tricks, and kind of industry updates. We're very big on that. We think that's the right way. So I don't know if that answers your question, But I do think email marketing plays a huge role in a sense of it's by far the cheapest form of marketing. There's no cheaper way to get a message in front of somebody. And, you know, if you have the right person on your list that you're emailing, you're putting a targeted message to somebody. So I think it's very valuable. And I keep hearing all the time, Doug, I don't know about you. Oh, email marketing's dead. It's gone. It's going away. I've heard this for 15 years and it's only getting bigger is actually how I see that. I haven't seen a decrease in number of mails sent per year, companies removing departments of email marketing. No. Like everyone is doubling down on email just because of the effectiveness and the ability to get it out quickly.
Time for a 1 minute break to hear from our presenting sponsor, Mutinex. In 1919, John Wanamaker said, "Half the money I spend on advertising is wasted. I just don't know which half." Well, the advertising landscape has changed since then, and instead of reaching your audience on two channels, you're probably reaching them on 20. Turns out John didn't know how easy he had it. But that doesn't mean that you should give up on striving towards marketing effectiveness. No matter how complex your marketing strategy is, Mutinex Growth OX is the market mix modeling platform that measures the impact of marketing on your bottom line. Mutinex's market mix modeling platform calibrates your insights against the latest market conditions so you can make media and marketing investment decisions confidently and quickly. Ready to take your team from I think to I know? Then join brands like Samsung, ING, and Asahi who make better marketing decisions with Mutinex. Mutinex Growth OX, your best decision starts here. To learn more about Mutinex, go to Mutinex.co. That's Mutinex.co. Okay, here's the rest of today's interview. A special thanks to our presenting sponsor, Mutinex. Ready to take your team from I think to I know? Then join brands like Samsung, ING, and Asahi who make better marketing decisions with Mutinex. Mutinex Growth OX, the marketing mix modeling platform that makes measuring ROI fast, easy, and cost-effective. Request a demo at Mutinex.co. That's Mutinex.co.
I think, Brian, what I see an awful lot is that people's understanding of how to deploy different channels has become much more sophisticated over time. I feel like there was a time when every channel equaled sales, and now we're starting to recognize that that's not the case. And it just comes down to everybody's buyer's journey. They're different. The more complex, the more likely you're going to deploy 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 different channels across the buyer's journey. And if you're ignoring email, you just nailed it. Brian, there's so much about email that is effective. But I think we all are sort of stuck in this paradigm from 10 years ago about email marketing. And you got to it yesterday. You sort of talked about the bigger the list, the better, right? I want nice big lists. You know what? I don't care as much about content. I'm driving towards these leading indicators. What's my open rate? What's my click-through rate? And what I'm hearing from you, Brian, is you got to think about this a little bit more qualitatively. So how engaging is my content? Am I thinking about how to optimize that? Because you know what? It's easy to just go make your content more engaging. But what you're saying is sort of build it into the way that you think about the way you develop your content. Test it, right? You're also saying, hey, end of the day, folks, there's so much more about how your message lands depending on whether people get the email or not. So inbox testing, all of those things. Are there things that you would say, Brian, you'd recommend anybody's listening in right now must go do right now in order to use email marketing to drive more revenue? Like what's their hot take, hot tip for today?
So number one is actually going to be clean your list up. You have to go clean that list out. There's too many bots. There's too many bad data points that are coming in, especially if you've ever purchased data and now it's mixed into your data set. You have to go clean this stuff up. Remove the bad emails. There's toxic emails. There's people who are going to mark you as spam. It's very predictive. So I would highly recommend you go through that process and clean that up. Secondly, make sure that your infrastructure is kind of set up. I can get technical here, but there's a lot of really easy tests. For example, we offer one. You send us an email and we tell you exactly if there's anything wrong with your DNS, your DMARC, your DKIM, SPF records, whatever it might be. And then with this new stuff that's happened here in February with Google and Yahoo, you have to have DMARC set up. If you're not set up on DMARC, I can just tell you right now, you're going to be in the spam folder if you're not already. They're saying 5,000 messages or more. And to me, it doesn't matter if you send 10 messages. You need to have DMARC set up. It gives you brownie points. It gives you these positive things that, again, you're a mail sender that mail servers want to see. So you should get these things set up. It's a little technical, but it's really not that difficult. Probably 2-3 minutes is really all the time it takes. Get a couple of these things set up and make sure you're doing best practices on how you're collecting that data, what you're sending to them, at what time, and the messages that you're doing. I think those collectively will give you better email marketing if you're not doing all of those.
What is DMARC?
DMARC is a security protocol. It's been around for years, by the way. This is not a new topic or new word. DMARC stands for Domain Messaging Authentication Reporting Conformance. I don't know who came up with that one, but basically what it's saying is, so we have an SPF record that says I'm a permitted sender, and that would come from your Google or MailChimp, whatever system you're using. And then you have DKIM, which is a key. That key has a public key and a private key. The public key is shown on your DNS. The private key is delivered in the message. Those two have to conform and align. So that's a security protocol. And then DMARC takes those two items, DKIM and SPF, and it says what to do if one of those fails. So if any of those are failing, the reason that it would fail is because you're not set up properly or people are trying to spoof emails from your domain. So DMARC is a bulletproof way to make sure people cannot use your domain to send messages. And if anyone thinks this is difficult, I assure you it is not hard to spoof an email address. It is very simple. And what it's doing is it's layers of security. And it's coming to a point where there's too much phishing, there's too much stuff going on here that people are using real domains and they're able to get messages out. So DMARC would basically say, nope, that's not for me, block it. Think of it as the security guard as to the policy, the security policy as to what those security guards should do when those messages arrive and they weren't authorized by you.
I want to wrap things up here, Brian, by talking about a subject we touched on lightly yesterday. And I'm going to start out by just talking about segmentation. Segmentation is easy enough, but it's sort of how do you understand and organize messaging for those segments so that they resonate with the audience? Are there some examples of practices out there that you're seeing where people are getting to better and better messaging, if you will, through that combination of segmentation and then iterating towards a great message? Are there best practices out there you'd recommend as well?
I think you have to kind of write the journey out and write the if-thens. Sorry, my background's software development, if-then was just built into my core. So if this person opens the email, then I should do what? But if they don't open the email, well, then what should I do? So if you kind of create a bunch of those, let's call the if-thens just a fork. It's based on what they did. And then you send it either a different message or kind of put something to the person that might now bring them back into the place you actually wanted them to be. The best practices on it, it's so business driven. It's so based on your business. It can be very difficult for me to just say exactly what might resonate for people. But I think that breakup campaign is a great one where it's, hey, are you sure you even wanted my emails? Did you sign yourself up or did your friend do that? What kind of business are you? Think about it. And then think about what you've seen in real life. If you're a storefront, for example, and someone walked into a mattress store looking to buy a TV, something happened there. Something was wrong. So what's that question you would have asked them? And then what would you have said to them? So I just really think about it in a sense of what do I do if they don't want to take the path I want? And then focus on the other side of that. And then how do I get them back onto that path? So that's how I think about it. I kind of think of the chutes and ladders game. How do I get them back onto that original path that I wanted to ultimately win the game? That's how I think about it. And some of the examples I've seen are just challenging. They're very focused on that specific business. But I would say this, Doug, I would love to, if anyone does have some sort of interesting question or challenge with this, I'm happy to kind of help anyone and just reach out on LinkedIn or something of that nature, where I can really focus in on what you're doing and see if there's a way to make it better.
Great advice. And I'm sure people will take you up on that offer, Brian.
Yeah, happy to.
Well, thanks for spending some time with us today and lots of good advice. If I'm taking away anything here, the thing I would do this afternoon, change right away, is to, if you will, have better process around maintaining those email lists. It really sounds like the negative impact there is much, much higher than people are thinking. And I think you nailed it yesterday, too. You talked about people holding on to larger and larger contact lists when 22% of the list is probably churned. So that means that in 5 years, you have 100% churn on your email list. And how that could be penalizing you, in other words, sending to people that, you know, frankly are bounces or just don't want to hear from you, could be hurting your chances of being successful in the future.
Yep.
All right. That wraps up this episode of the MarTech Podcast. Thanks to Brian Minnick, Chief Operating Officer at Zero Bounce, for joining us today. If you can't wait until our next episode and want to learn more about Brian, you can find a link to his LinkedIn profile in our show notes. Remember, Brian offered to spend some time if people have those oddball use case moments. Or you can visit his company website at zerobounce.net.
Okay, that wraps up this episode of the MarTech Podcast. Thanks to our guest host, Doug Bell, the CMO of Chief Outsiders. If you'd like to get in touch with Doug, you could find a link to his LinkedIn profile in our show notes, or you can contact him on Twitter, where his handle is Market Advocate. Or you could just visit his website, which is chiefoutsiders.com. Just one more link in our show notes I'd like to tell you about. If you didn't have a chance to take notes while you were listening to this podcast, head over to martechpod.com where we have summaries of all of our episodes and contact information for our guests. You can also subscribe to our weekly newsletter, and you can even apply to be the next guest speaker on the Martech podcast. Of course, you can always reach out on social media. Our handle is martechpod, MARTECHPOD, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, or you can contact me directly on LinkedIn. My handle is benjshap, BENJSHAP. And if you haven't subscribed yet and you want a daily stream of marketing and technology knowledge in your podcast feed, we're going to publish an episode every day this year, so hit the subscribe button in your podcast app and we'll be back in your feed tomorrow morning. All right, that's it for today. But until next time, my advice is to just focus on keeping your customers happy.
Thanks for listening to the MarTech Podcast, an I Hear Everything production. Looking to launch or scale a podcast like this one for your brand? Then visit iheareverything.com.